Nation, based out of the lovely island of Maui. Of course, I am G Money. I am joined by Format. Professor Barry and Amber, aka Digit, are not available. They are indisposed at the moment. So you can say that the dynamic duo are in town today. We're doing it in a new venue as well today. I don't know if you can hear it. It almost sounds very church. It almost sounds like the acoustics of a church. I don't know if you can hear that or not. Or a bathroom even. We're doing the pod in the toilet. Anyway, Format, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good. What you been up to?
Not much. More writing. Trying to get this book done.
Your book?
Yes.
Good. You've taken a lot of inspiration from Ready Player One.
Yeah, mainly the way it was written. There was a lot of things that I really enjoyed about the way Ready Player One was told.
Right.
And so I thought I'd not do a complete rewrite of my stuff, but I'm taking certain cues.
All right.
And applying it to my book.
Well, I don't mean to just jump right into the show here, but with the news of Steven Spielberg directing that very book and bringing it to the screen, is that get you excited or are you a little more?
It does. I am a bit hesitant, though. Yeah. This could possibly be the most expensive movie ever made after they get all the licensing rights. This is huge. Because of all the 80s references to, like, you know, all the pulp culture from that time.
Right.
They're going to have to dig deep.
So just to let you know, if you haven't heard yet, if you haven't checked out our Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch site, what it is Steven Spielberg has picked up the rights to adapt for the big screen Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. So the book that Format just read is now going to be turned into a massive, I'm assuming, tentpole movie.
Because I finished reading it. Yeah. He wasn't going to do it until I finished.
Right. That's what he said. I had taken a call from him the other week, and he said that until Format finishes, we're not doing this movie. So it's like, okay, cool. Awesome. It's nice to know that you have that much pool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Things happen.
Hey, I tell you what, things do happen. Anyway, listen, since Professor Barry isn't here, or Amber, coming up on the show, we're going to take some time. We're going to talk about some movie news, and we're going to talk about some Blu-rays and DVDs that came out and things of that nature. And television, of course. The Walking Dead finale was this weekend. I know that you are not a...
I actually caught a little bit of it. I didn't catch a great amount, but I did catch some of it.
You did? Okay. All right. We'll talk about that later. But even something more spectacular happened this weekend. And since they're not here, you and I are going to talk a little bit about WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what. So WrestleMania 31 was in Santa Clara, California this year. Over 76,000 people attended WrestleMania 31.
They broke records.
And they broke a lot of records. But on top of that, just to give you guys a little glimpse into the NerdWatch lifestyle, every big pay-per-view from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, to SummerSlam, we all get together, and we all of our friends get together, and we all watch those pay-per-views together. Of course, WrestleMania 31 was no exception. We all got together, we all went up to our friend's house, and we proceeded to watch this WrestleMania show. I don't know about you, but let me start off first. I, going into the show, was not very excited about the show because I thought the build to every match had been kind of lackluster. I wasn't excited about any match at all going into WrestleMania 31. What about you?
There were a few that I really wanted to see just to see how they played out, like the H and Sting match. I wanted to see how that played out.
Sting felt more like a curiosity. You're right. I wasn't interested. I just felt like there was no build. Still interested to see Sting.
It's not like I was excited.
Right.
About, you know, the pay per view, but
it's just Sting.
Yeah.
In the WWE.
That was pretty exciting.
So I'll go to you first, and we'll start off with the highlights of what we thought was awesome. So for you, where would you like to start, and what do you think? First off, shall we go over what you, if you like the show or not?
Sure. I enjoyed it. Probably surprisingly so.
Okay.
I wasn't really expecting much out of it.
Right.
The card wasn't really too
stacked.
Yeah, it wasn't too, like, you know, it wasn't going to draw my you know, pique my interest or anything.
Right.
But, you know, as far as friends go, this is the one time that we actually all get together. So,
right.
That was the main draw for me.
That always
but
is.
But the show itself was really, really top-notch. The matches were well done. A lot of the moves were impressive. Standout moment for me was probably that RKO.
The Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton match.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was a highlight.
I think we finally got an RKO that replaces the Evan Bourne RKO.
And for those of you that don't know the Evan Bourne RKO, which was still awesome, wasn't he doing the Shooting Star Press?
Yes.
And
he calls it the Airborne.
The Airborne, right. He was
right
doing
off
the
top rope, and he got caught in the RKO on the way down.
That was awesome. Seth Rollins, of course, his finishing move is the curb stomp.
Correct.
And basically, what happened was Randy Orton, not to ruin it, but Randy Orton catches him in the, he uses the heel of his foot to drive his opponent's head into the mat, right on their neck. Well, Randy Orton decided to counter that by pushing back up on the underneath of his foot, pull him, have him go higher up
in the air.
He
launched him up
in
the air.
He launches him, and he catches him in the RKO, which is basically a modified diamond cutter.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. And if you don't know what a diamond cutter, it's a modified Stone Cold Stunner, which, if you don't know what that is, then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Probably,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so yeah, that was a highlight. That was awesome. I think everybody in that room pretty much simultaneously went, whoa!
Yes.
Yeah, I think we all did, because that was quite amazing, and I'm glad they did it in slow-mo, too. So you're right, that was really awesome. Any other things stand out from that show?
They should not do things in open arenas anymore.
I completely agree with you. This happened at Levi Stadium, the home of the San Francisco 49ers, and it is a big venue, but I think you are right. I think doing things outdoors is not the way to go for a wrestling event. I know they're trying to be iconic, the iconography of going to a big open stadium that's iconic, but I don't know how iconic Levi Stadium is, because that was built to take over for a legendary stadium, Candlestick Park.
Mm.
So I don't know how legendary or iconic it was, but I guess they did it. They've done it before in Florida. They did it at the Sun Life Stadium.
Right. Well, I mean, they did break records, so I guess that is a thing.
That is a thing. You're right.
They did bring in more than 76,000.
You're right. You're right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think the thing about an arena is that it captures, ironically enough, it captures the sounds of the fans.
Right.
And it captures the moves become even more brutal.
Even more apparent.
Yes.
On Monday Night Raw.
Yes, it was. Because on Monday Night Raw, we'll get to that in a second, because Monday Night Raw was awesome, in my opinion. It was fantastic. But anyway, any other standout highlights for you?
I do enjoy the way that the heavyweight belt match ended. I think that's the only way.
The main event with Brock
correct.
Lesnar, yes.
With Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns.
Yes,
I think that's the only way that it could have ended, where everyone in play still comes out looking strong.
Everybody looked strong in that thing. Everybody looked fantastic. Everybody came out looking like champs.
Exactly.
I really thought so. And no one's legacy was tarnished. No one's up-and-comer status is still that up-and-comer status is still intact for Roman
right.
Reigns. Seth Rollins comes out as a good heel because he screwed them both,
mm-hmm.
which is great. You're absolutely right.
And it also gives an air of importance to the Money
title.
In the Bank.
Yes, it
as
does.
Well as the title.
You're
of
right. That Money in the Bank, you never realize how important that is. And they're carrying it around for a long time. But once you cash that puppy in,
yep.
that's your shot at the title, baby.
I thought it was genius that they used it in the middle of a match. We'd never seen that happen
before. You're absolutely right. It's normally at the end of a match they've done right. it. You're absolutely right.
One guy's
right.
beaten. He's down.
Yes, yes, yes. You're absolutely right. I cannot even believe... Well, that was a new thing, so I can't even believe that was done, and done so well, that you're thinking to yourself, Yeah, no one's pinned anybody. It's in the middle of a match. He can do, it's almost as if, and this is a reference for those of you that have watched wrestling before, it's almost as if this the briefcase is now a modified hardcore title.
Pretty much.
You can the hardcore title was a title that could be defended anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, seven days a week, and it seems like that is what the Money in the Bank is. And if you don't know what the Money in the Bank is, once again, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. It's a Money in the Bank contract.
We do appreciate that you do listen to the podcast. We though. Do. We're not trying to turn
right,
away people.
Right. We're trying to get you in love with wrestling. So
send all your angry letters to Nerdwatch at care of Greg G-Money.
I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody when it comes to wrestling. I'm just such a big fan. But anyway, so that was for you. That was the highlights.
Yeah, for the most part.
Cool.
I thought Bray's entrance was actually really well done. Although, again, it would have been great in a closed arena.
Yeah, I think you're right. Plus, if the sun were out.
Yeah. If the sun was actually down instead of still blazing in the heat and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I noticed was there was a lot of random people walking in front of the camera.
You know what? I noticed that too. It even happened last night on Raw.
Yeah, just random people walking in like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right, and then they
scamper off.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe they have a new setup that no one's used to yet, maybe.
Maybe they're using local talent.
It could be. Well, let's hope they were using local talent so somebody could recognize us. But those are the highlights for you. Overall, that you'd say it's a good show?
Yeah, I'd say it was great.
Okay, well, I have to say that WrestleMania 31, I went into with so much trepidation. I was almost angry. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I was almost angry because I felt like the lead-ups weren't very good. Roman Reigns being in the main event for WrestleMania was unbelievably, it just didn't feel right. Just because when you watch wrestling, you know that Daniel Bryan, it took him so long to get there, and he did it at WrestleMania 30,
so
and then
Roman
all of a sudden,
being in the main event was Roman pretty, being in the main event, it felt premature.
It felt totally premature, so I was bummed out about that. I was excited about Sting, but I was disappointed he wasn't facing somebody else like The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: Let's start at the top of the card here. We had. First off, the pre-show wasn't bad either.
Oh, no, yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, they had the
Axelmania was running wild.
Axelmania was running wild. They had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which was a lot of fun. Miz Dow almost pulled it off. Also, the tag team match between
Cesaro and Kid
and the Usos was great. And I think it was a four-way or an eight-man tag.
Yeah.
I think it was. That was very good, too. The first match of Mania, I'm having the hardest time.
That's the ladder match.
It was the ladder match, the Intercontinental title match, right, between Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan
and friends.
Luke Harper, Bad News Barrett, everybody. That was a great match.
Yes,
I thought it was fantastic. The climax to that match was amazing. Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan can make. They can make wrestling history with some of their matches, and they did just that. Also, I thought that was a great match. I thought the finisher was very good, too.
Yes.
The second match was Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. That was better than it needed to be. Way better. I thought they stole the show, really. I thought they did. They did a bang-up job. I was very surprised at that because I'm not the biggest fan of Randy Orton, but he did a fantastic job, and Seth Rollins did great, too. And then the third match of the night was, it wasn't Sting. It was, I should just pull up the stupid card. I have the internet.
Was that the Diva match?
No.
Was that Taker?
No, the 31 card. There we go. Boom. Doggone it. I can't for the life of me remember what the third match was. I'm gonna try and go down each and every one of them, just so that we can take a look at them. Here we go. Daniel Bryan, that was the first match. Second match was Seth Rollins. No disqualification. The third match was Sting and Triple H.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Sting,
told you. You were right. Sting and Triple H was the third match. Surprisingly, I didn't think they'd be on the top of the card. But this was the match that everybody was curious about. I was completely curious about it. I really, really, really wasn't expecting what I got from it. Sting versus Triple H. For those of you that used to watch wrestling or were into wrestling before in the 90s, this was a match for you. This turned out to be the WWE versus WCW wrestling match that we never got in the 90s when Vince McMahon bought WCW. This is what we never got. And it came to a head. We had Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, NWO showed up, DX showed up. It was a lot of fun. Triple H and Sting held their own. Sting was awesome. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah,
Sting,
he did.
He hasn't lost a step. He was really good. So I don't want to ruin it. You should just check out that match. And there was a special surprise guest that came in to that match as well, and I won't ruin that either. A spoiler, as it were, in a baseball cap. And from what I understand, he is quite the sexy boy, and I'll leave it at that. the fourth match on the card was the Bella Twins versus Paige and AJ Lee. I tell you what, that was actually a very good Divas match.
Yeah,
I didn't mind
really
it at
good.
All. It was very good. I wish that there were stakes. There were no stakes. There was no title.
Yeah, it
involved.
Was just a match.
It was just a match, which is fine. I could deal with that. Then we had the United States Championship title match between Rusev and John Cena, or what I like to call Rocky Balboa versus Ivan Drago 2. Okay? Because that is exactly what it was. It was quite amazing. The entrances with Rusev were awesome. John Cena came out. It was the All-American boy versus the Russian brute. Or the Bulgarian brute, as it were. And that match, to be honest, I have to say, wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good. I you know, a lot of people don't like Cena. I like Cena. I respect Cena, and I respect the wrestling that he does. I'm not like a fan, per se, but I like him. And I thought he did a good job against Rusev. I just felt like he got fed. Rusev got fed to Cena.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally got fed to him.
Totally felt that way.
Yeah. And then...
But Lana.
Lana was great.
She did an awesome job.
She did a great job. She was Ivan Drago's wife. Let's put it that way. That way you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that was a great match. That was a lot of fun. Great match. Then there was a little interlude between the main events. Okay? And that was Triple H and Stephanie... coming out to tell everybody what the attendance was. Well, ironically enough, they were prematurely interrupted by someone by the name of The Rock. The Rock came out. Dwayne Johnson, you know, the man who is responsible for...
Saving California.
Saving California from the San Andreas Fault. That's the guy. That's him. The Rock came out, and they proceeded to do a little verbal jousting, as it were. Ms. McMahon, Stephanie, told The Rock to get out of the ring. She slapped him in the face and told him to get out of the ring because you can't touch me. Well, ironically enough, someone that's made headlines because she was there, Ronda Rousey was there, and she got into the fracas, and that was a lot of fun. That wasn't expected at all. And that turned out to be a lot of fun. So I won't spoil it. All I'll just say is that you have to see that portion of the show. It was great. Then this was the match that I got to see only partial of. The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt came after that little interlude. This was the Undertaker's first appearance since WrestleMania 30, since his defeat.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt was part of the Wyatts. And he came out and proceeded to berate Undertaker and his legacy and things of that nature. The Undertaker answered the call at WrestleMania, and overall wasn't a bad match.
No, Taker looked really good.
He did. He looked very healthy as opposed to last year.
I was a lot, like, I was really surprised when he dropped the jacket, and I was like, oh, his arms are huge.
They're huge. You're absolutely right. So, Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, good match. Once again, Undertaker's mysticism doesn't work in the light.
Yeah, exactly.
It only works in the dark.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it. And then
it was a very theatrical match, I want to say.
Yes.
But yeah, there was a lot that was lost due to the sun still being out.
Right. That blasted sun. And finally, of course, was the heavyweight championship match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns that you explained earlier. Seth Rollins doing the spoiling of the show and cashing in the Money in the Bank. I have to tell you guys, if you haven't seen it, the WWE Network is worth every single dollar you spend on it. It's $9.99. It's a great deal. You can watch WrestleMania again. Overall, coming into it, I was very skeptical. After the show, I have to say that I had a great time with WrestleMania 31, and I thought it was way above average. I would almost have to put it up there with I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'd have to put it up there with one of my favorite WrestleManias. I can't even believe it. I think WrestleMania 17 is still my favorite.
Well, needless to say, it's probably in the top 30 of WrestleManias.
You would have to say it's in the top 30. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that at all.
Because,
so
WrestleMania 8 really shouldn't count.
Right.
Top 30 at least.
Right, absolutely. So WrestleMania, top to bottom, the cards were fun. They really proved me wrong, and I thought even with the last-minute bookings of certain talents, they did a great job overall, and... good on them, and I thought it was super entertaining. And I also, by the way, just to let you know, when I was saying about WWE Network, they got a lot of fun programming coming to the WWE Network.
So much content.
They got all the wrestling matches, they got all the Raws and the SmackDowns, and now they're even adding more content. It's become its own media center. I mean, its own media... It's its own channel. It's its own media channel.
Yeah, pretty much.
So good on them. I hope it's successful. Unfortunately, after WrestleMania, from what I heard, their stock crashed a bit.
Oh.
Yeah. So, ironically enough. I don't know all the logistics of it, but, you know, Vince McMahon may own the company, but he does have to answer to investors. So,
it's the open air arena, I'm telling you. Yeah. Stocks went down because of the open air arena.
Right. Has nothing to do with anything else but the fact that the blasted sun... Was just.
I felt really bad for the guys that were in the nosebleeds.
Oh my gosh!
Not only can they not see anything happening, but they're also like getting heat stroke. And
I feel bad for the guys that were sitting there while the sun is beaming right in their face and looking
right
at. Oh my gosh!
Oh my goodness!
I couldn't even handle that. That was insane. But anyway, overall, wrapping up our WrestleMania content for the pod. I have to say that overall, I thought it was an amazing, amazing show, and I'm going to watch it again. Now, really quick, if you have not seen Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, you are missing out on quite the treat. Let me tell you why. And this is, you said you only got to see half of it, right?
Yeah, I only saw the first half. The good half.
Okay. It was an NXT coming out party, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
We got a great tag team match with the introduction of
the Lucha Dragons.
Everybody popped for the Lucha Dragons.
Great.
That was awesome.
Good for them. They really shined.
They were amazing. And then Adrian Neville, who goes by the name of Neville now, had come out as well. And he had a, I wouldn't say lackluster, but it was definitely not as intense as the NXT matches are.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it really showcased his talents, but it's nowhere near the caliber that NXT matches tend to be.
Right.
I don't know if that's due to him facing off against Axel. I mean, Axel, I thought, did great. He sold everything.
He did.
So I thought it was a good match overall, but it was nowhere near...
Even Neville's finisher seemed kind of slow, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It was weird. It felt like it wasn't as quick as it was.
Well, he paused before going up.
He did. It was weird.
Like he was showboating, and I was like...
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I have to say, that's how I felt too.
Because normally in NXT, you bust out the moves, and that's it. Bam, bam, bam. Everything, you know... High impact, high intensity,
right.
And then match is over, and then everybody's again, celebrating.
Right. Then but, again, when you have 40 minutes as compared to 3 hours,
yeah,
which is
true.
Raw, I guess you have to pause once in a while. Learning the new WWE system is for them, so maybe that's what it was.
I expect in about maybe 3 months he'll be all tatted up.
You think so?
Yeah.
I sure
with a beer belly, I'm sure.
I hope not. Gosh, I hope
not. Just like everyone else that comes up to the main card.
That's right.
Like, wow, remember when he used to look so clean cut?
Remember when he was awesome?
He's got sleeves and he's got Thug Life across his belly button.
Yeah, it's funny how the best Raws of the year are always the one right before Mania and the one right after Mania.
Yep, definitely.
So it was nice to see the NXT
and
get recognized.
That's definitely due to the crowd.
Yeah, the crowd was amazing. As a matter of fact, since you didn't see it, the crowd did the wave.
That's awesome.
You have to see it just for the wave, dude. It's amazing. I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. So if you haven't watched it, you should. If you're not into wrestling, you should get into it. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those things that I guess you can't just come into. You have to be a lover of it. I've been a lover of it ever since I was a kid, and I don't think I'll ever stop loving the performance art that is wrestling. So they did a great job, and I commend them for doing such a good job on WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, kudos.
Yeah, good job. All right. Anyway, format. Now moving on to some movie stuff, some interesting stuff. Want to let you know, first off, you didn't see anything this week, did you?
No.
The only thing I saw this week was a documentary that's had a lot of buzz as of late, called Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, or excuse me, it's called Going Clear. It was an HBO documentary that was exposing what the teachings of the Scientology church is. And, of course, John Travolta was a big part of it, and Tom Cruise was a big part of it. It's directed by a guy by the name of Alex Gibney. He's a great documentary filmmaker. I've seen multiple films of his, and they're very well done. He really, I tell you something, if you haven't seen it, even if you're not interested in it, it's a good watch, no doubt. You should definitely take a look at it. I think you'll really appreciate where he comes from. They talk a lot about L. Ron Hubbard and his science fiction background and how he was the kind of guy that he wanted to keep all of his money. And he knew that the only way to keep his money is to get a religion, and because the government wouldn't take it away from you. So it's very interesting. I have to say overall that...
Is that the basis of Scientology?
No, that was his... That was the argument they were making in the movie, in the documentary, there was a time and point in his life where L. Ron Hubbard...
Because I honestly don't know what it is. I'm not very big on the whole religion thing.
So...
Yeah, when all these things come out, it just seems like, I don't know. It just seems kind of weird. Scientology, they'd like preach about math or...
Yeah. Right. I'm going to tell you something. This is not about God. This isn't even about a religion, because it's trying to, in the movie, in the documentary, they're trying to expose Scientology as not being a religion. Matter of fact, the government recognizes the Scientology church as a religion, and not only that, they think that L. Ron Hubbard's books, his sci-fi books and things like that, mm-hmm. are now holy texts. So the government considers them holy texts, and they are not taxed either. It's quite an interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not even a religious aspect. I think you should watch it just because I think you'd really appreciate it.
So that Family Guy Church of the Fonz thing, that's just around the corner.
Yeah,
right?
The Church of the Fonz.
Awesome.
Absolutely, man. I tell you. Anyway, that's what I got to see. And overall, I have to say that if you haven't seen it, you should take a look at it.
I don't even recall watching. Like, the only thing I remember seeing and finishing was probably Kimmy Schmidt. Like, I finished the whole season.
Oh, okay. We said we're going to talk about this from another podcast.
Oh, did we? Oh, okay.
And?
It was great.
Okay.
Beginning to end, it was great.
All right, I'm in.
The ending, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's not like a typical season one ending where there's a huge cliffhanger or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, if they wanted to stop the series where it is,
right,
it's fine. I'd really? Be happy with it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good.
But they left enough open where if they did continue, they have something to build off of.
Okay, good. So it's on Netflix, by the way, and you have to see it. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is on Netflix. I've seen a couple episodes. I think it's very funny. So
it's great. It is
all
great.
Right, I cannot wait
but,
to see
yeah, episode. Other than that, I don't recall actually seeing anything. Like, I didn't go out of my way to watch anything or pull up anything.
Yeah, so. I think I've been busy reviewing, and I've been also trying to for the Nerd Watch. I've been trying to get through a little bit more of the Grand Theft Auto update with mm-hmm, the heists mm-hmm. and things like that, and just doing them.
How's that going?
Oh, it's fun. I've been starting to play with some friends and things like that from the mainland. It's been very good. The heists are worth their weight in gold. It actually adds a lot of replayability to the Grand Theft Auto Online. So it's great. I recommend it wholeheartedly to anybody. So I'm with you. I'm in that boat. I haven't watched anything either. I've been just been writing some stuff and playing some games as well, trying to catch up on some things too.
Awesome.
But there has been some news coming our way, Format. The news happens to be in regards to a man who's in a suit that we call Deadpool. The first images of Deadpool have come out of Hollywood, courtesy of Ryan Reynolds, and he is in the suit, and he is modeling the suit on a bearskin rug.
Which is definitely Deadpool flavor. In front of a fireplace, just hanging out.
We also found out that Deadpool has a Twitter account.
Yes, the Deadpool movie has an official Twitter account, and it only follows one other Twitter account. And that Twitter account is Hello Kitty.
That's brilliant. That's freaking brilliant.
I'm really loving the way that they're embracing the character, you know, the way the character is and whatnot.
Well, I think when you embrace him like this, what's nice about Deadpool is that when you embrace his, I don't want to say silliness, but his angst, I should say, when you embrace that angst, the violence that goes along with it also becomes angsty in the sense that it becomes ridiculous.
It truly does, yeah. Definitely.
So for as violent as Deadpool may be, his persona,
I guess, so silly.
It is so silly, and it denies you to take it. It denies the viewer or the reader to take it seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's supposed to be a little funny. He's not.
No, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, he's not really a dark character.
There is usually a moment of shock and awe. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Right, of course.
When he's pulling a katana out of someone's head, you're like, what? Right. But when he throws the head up and bats it away, you're like, oh, that's Deadpool.
Yeah, that's him. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Now, according to the reports that are coming out of the Deadpool website, they say they already have a story, and it sounds, let me read it to you, because it sounds basically what I would assume it would be. It's based on Marvel Comics' most unconventional anti-hero. Deadpool tells the origin story of former Special Forces operative turned mercenary Wade Wilson, who, after being subjected to a rogue experiment that leaves him with accelerated healing powers, adopts the alter ego Deadpool. Armed with his new abilities and a dark, twisted sense of humor, Deadpool hunts down the man who nearly destroyed his life. So, for those of you that don't know or are not...
So it's an origin story.
It seems like that way.
Okay.
I will say this, though, for those of you that do not know, his powers are directly related to... If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, they're directly related to the Weapon X project.
Yes, correct.
And they're directly related to another character in the Marvel Universe, and his name is Wolverine. I wonder if there is a connection, and I wonder if we're going to be making that connection, because what's ironic is that Deadpool is very important to the Weapon X project.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think? Do you think this is a good way to go, or do you think that they are setting up for moving
into
that space?
I think it is a good, especially when it comes to DP, that they touch base on his origin. What I think would be an awesome scene is if they show Thomas and Martha get shot. And then the pearls.
Oh, yes.
If they show Batman's parents die in a Marvel comic movie, I think that would be absolutely brilliant.
That would just be... it's as if the Ghostbusters are crossing the
right,
screen.
Right, exactly.
Well,
that's just something that popped in my head just now.
Oh, man.
When we were talking about origin, because that's always the thing that pops in my head. It's either Uncle Ben dying or Thomas and Martha dying. You know, being gunned down in the street and seeing that string of pearls fly. Like, oh my goodness, not this again.
Well,
Pa Kent is dying again. Yeah. There's always someone.
Well, here's the thing. Considering the fact that the other news, bit of news that came out today that's directly related to this is that Hugh Jackman is saying or is hinting at the fact that this may be his last Wolverine movie or his last standalone Wolverine movie. So I'm wondering, or this may be his last stand as Wolverine. Can you see anybody?
Last stand.
Hilarious, right? I did it on purpose. Do you think that Hugh Jackman's claws can be filled by someone else?
I think so. What's his name from Lord of the Rings? I think he'd make a good Wolverine.
Christopher Lee, he's too old.
No, not him. The scruffy, hairy dude. He led the dwarves.
Brian Blessed? No, he's...
Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so. He's the older guy. No, not Brian. What the heck is his name now? I can't think of it. But traditionally, Wolverine he's been a very small statured man.
Yes.
He's
supposed to be like 5 foot nothing.
5 foot nothing. He's a very small statured man. He actually
supposed to be super heavy, yes, due to the metal.
Right. Very heavy due to the matter of fact, he walks around like almost, I mean,
with a hunch.
With a hunch. Right. It's almost like he walks around like an ape.
Right. Because of all the weight he's got to support.
Right. Absolutely. So my question is that could a new Wolverine inhabit the space with Deadpool? And if so, do you think that would fit in the universe in which they're trying to build here?
I think so. But if they're going to put him in a Deadpool movie, they need to focus on Deadpool.
You're right. And I don't think he's going to be in this movie.
Bringing in another person, you know, another superhero or, you know, anti-superhero or anti-hero or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Is just going to take away from the main character.
Right.
They need to... get their story down, lock it into place, and just write it out.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because, well, then what we're saying is that they should be hinting at Wolverine, but not having him.
Right, exactly. Him. Exactly.
Very good. Very good.
Like, say, Trey of Steak Knives, you know, falls on the ground and he just looks at him and like, oh, that reminds me of someone. You know, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
A cameo without a cameo.
Well, the nice thing is that Deadpool will finally get his day in the movies. And do you think, my question is do you think he's going to be breaking the fourth wall?
I really hope so, because that's pretty much what the character's all about.
That's what he is.
He's unconventional to a fault, really.
Right, absolutely.
So far, the costume, I think, looks great.
Costume looks amazing. It looks just like the
right,
comic.
Right, exactly. It looks exact. There's no, like, you know...
There's no real variation.
Unsightly bulges, yeah, or right, you know, right, any, you know, it really does look like it's ripped directly out of the comics.
Yeah.
As far as casting goes, the fans out there have been crying for Ryan Reynolds to be given another shot because he is the quintessential Deadpool.
And he's getting his shot.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll go off well. Overall.
Cool. I'm very excited about it. I hope Deadpool is treated with a modicum of the respect and, I guess, humor that he deserves.
Because if he doesn't,
yeah,
all the Marvel fans will be rioting.
Absolutely, because this is the man that killed the Marvel Universe at one point in his career.
Yep.
So, let me just make a request to Ryan Reynolds and whoever is directing this film, don't mess this up.
a little side request. Keep the mask on.
Please, for the love of God, we know who's under the mask.
Yes.
We don't need to see him.
We know Reynolds looks hot.
We get it, right.
He's got that you know, that model look.
You're absolutely
just
right.
Keep the mask on, please.
I agree. Man, you have...
Or CGI the hell out of his face.
Right, from the mouths of babes.
When he takes him out. When he takes off the mask. If he takes off the mask.
From the mouths of babes, sir. You're absolutely right. They've ruined Spider-Man with that stupid crap. They've ruined so many things. Listen, they did the same thing. Remember in Batman... Wasn't it in Batman Returns they did the same thing where he tore his mask off of his actual suit?
Yes, that was
that
interesting.
That was ridiculous. And just keep... It's okay to keep the mask on. I know the superstars underneath there. I get that. Don't screw this up for us. We know who's underneath the mask, okay? Let's keep it on him. That's the reason why he has an alter ego, because he doesn't want people to know who he is.
Exactly.
That's what it is. With the exception, of course, of Iron Man, which goes
who
right...
Who wants everyone to know who he is.
Absolutely. So when they did that U-turn with the character in the original Iron Man movie, I had no problem with it because Tony Stark is an egomaniac.
Definitely.
So that's not a problem for me at all. But anyway, good luck with Deadpool. I cannot wait to see this, and I'm glad we're getting a lot more information out of Hollywood about it. It's great stuff. Also, speaking of, let's move on to another comic book character in the DC universe. Something that you and I would find interesting because we grew up with it. It looks like Adam West and Burt Ward are reuniting as Batman and Robin in an animated movie, no less.
Is it gonna be like the show?
I
are the Scooby Kids gonna wander on scene and be like, you know?
Well, there is if you look at the Facebook.com site, there is an interview with them that was done about it, about this animated movie. It is a 50th anniversary of the television series, and they're putting it together. They're doing a 90-minute feature, and it's set to be released next year, and it's going to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Batman from 1966. So, I am, I have to say that...
I'm interested. Like, this does really pique interest, but I don't know.
Can I tell you something? This may be the last time... this may be the last time we get to see Adam West and Burt Ward together, because... I mean, Adam West is no spring chicken, and he's got other fish in the fryer. He's the mayor of Quahog. He can't have much that much time, you know.
That's true.
You know, so, and Burt Ward, I don't know what he's doing.
Last I heard was he makes pencils.
He makes pencils?
Like he works at like Dixon Ticonderoga or something as like one of the higher execs.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me when I pick up a Dixon Ticonderoga No. 2 pencil, Robin is making those for...
You are correct.
I am buying a 12-pack. That is awesome.
You ever wonder why those pencils are that shade of yellow?
Yeah, it's because of him.
It's not. Disclaimer, it's not.
Listen,
but,
don't...
you know.
Let's just say that it is. let's keep the facade. Don't break the reality of this thing. But yeah, or the fantasy of it.
Robin makes your pencils.
Robin makes your pencils, ladies and gentlemen. That is phenomenal. I'm very excited. Having them in an animated film and whooping it up and being as campy as possible, no less, would be great.
I really hope that they camp it up.
I really do,
that
too.
That is going to be awesome.
That will be amazing. Funny enough, Kevin Smith has done a series of comics about the 1966 Batman meeting up with like the Green Hornet and things like that. So this is nothing new. It's just nice to see him. It's nice to see them two together and making an animated film together. So I hope it certainly works out. I would love, love, love to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Now, let me tell you something. There's maybe one or two pieces more news that I want to get to. First off, the new Mad Max trailer came out, Fury Road. The main trailer came out, starring Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron. You're not as interested as I am.
I am interested in seeing the movie, but right. I haven't gone out of my way to watch the trailers or anything like that.
I am a Mad Max mark. I love Mad Max. I like the first one. I love the Road Warrior.
I think I've only seen Road Warrior like maybe once or twice in my entire life. Like it was one of those things where it just happened to be playing on TV while I was flipping through channels and was like, oh, what's this? And then probably caught the last half or something. I don't think I've ever actually sat down from beginning to the end to watch the whole thing.
Right.
But I've caught like a majority of it from time to time in different spots.
It's an amazing film. George Miller should be commended for making it. It is quite an amazing feat, especially in the 80s. When you watch a movie like that, those are real stunts. Those are real cars.
Mm-hmm, right.
Those are practical effects that are amazingly well done. And the action is cool, is fantastic. To this day, I think it's some of the best action I've ever seen in my life. I will say this. I remember the original Mad Max from 1979, the original Mad Max with Mel Gibson. I remember when it was imported to the States, it was in Australian, which means it was English, but with an Australian accent, right? they actually dubbed.
An English version?
They dubbed it. And not only that, even some of them were subbed. They dubbed Mad Max. I'm telling you right now, it is the most craziest thing you would ever hear of.
But I kind of want to see that.
Oh my gosh! I think one of our mutual friends has that dub. You have got to see it. It is the weirdest thing ever. But anyway, I am super excited. Mad Max Fury Road looks like a lot of fun. It looks so much like. And looks like it's so much in the vein of the original without, and it's not even taking away from it. It looks like this is straight out of the 80s, and I am so stoked about it. You can check out the Mad Max
Fury Road trailer. Back.
Oh, man. listen, I'm just, Mad Max is back. That's good enough
who
for me.
Who ruined Bartertown?
I don't need another hero, man. I just need Mad Max. That's all I need. All I need. Mad Max Fury Road. You can check out the trailer on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. We got it in our feed for you to check out. Also, in the news this morning, or this evening, we're doing it in the evening. The officially.
Fish?
Officially.
Here's fish.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Has an official runtime. It is going to be an hour and 40, it's going to be 142 minutes. So it's going to be,
how long is that?
It's 2 hours and 22 minutes.
That's it?
Well, the thing
I thought it was going to be longer than
it
that.
It was, according, the first cut of it was like 160 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
and then they
good.
Got it down to like 150.
Oh.
And now it's down to 140.
Well, then I guess I can't wait for the Blu-ray
extended cut.
But,
I'm so excited. Do you think that
an additional half an hour of footage?
Oh.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think that some of the comic book movies have been a little long in the tooth? Do you think that they're too long? I asked that question. I posed that question on the NerdWatch Facebook page.
It depends on the content. Like the Captain America stuff, probably a little long in the tooth. But like the Iron Man movies, they could be longer. I would enjoy more action.
You're right. I have to say that the first Iron Man was perfectly
timed. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was amazing.
The way that was edited and the runtime on that was perfect to a T.
Perfect.
As far as comic book to movies go, that was almost as flawless an adaptation as you can make.
Right.
From everything from casting all the way down to, the modeling, the music, the environments, everything, every single part of that first Iron Man was absolutely stunning. It was perfect. It really was perfect.
It really was.
But like as the movies are going now, things like Guardians, I would say is good. I wouldn't say it's long. Like they could have put more stuff in there.
I think you're right. I wanted Guardians of the Galaxy to be longer.
I wanted more of it.
You're right.
I
guess that's good in a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. You want more. Yeah. You always leave them wanting more. Yeah. That's what they say.
I think Iron Man 2 could have been shorter.
As the person that normally wants more, I don't agree with that sentiment. But whatever.
So for you, the 2 hour 20 mark isn't bad. That's about right for you.
For the Avengers, no.
Oh, what are you thinking?
No. I'm thinking that like it could be more. Like, because there's going to be a lot of stuff. We all know what this is building up to.
I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with you on this. I think that this movie should be at least 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah, I think this should be the Marvel Universe's answer to Interstellar. Or Avatar. That's how big it is.
That's right.
Well, then again, I guess Infinity...
And it should be in 3D as well.
And, I think it is. I think Infinity War is... I guess is going to make up for that because they are splitting that movie into two parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, they would have to.
Yeah.
It's just such a huge story.
Yeah.
And there's so much involved. There's so many different locales. There's so many different characters.
And now they're ramming Spider-Man in there now. Oh, my gosh. This is insane.
Like, so, yes. I'm wondering how much they're actually reshooting, or are they just going to green screen them into, in post-production?
Absolutely.
Like just, they're fighting over here on this hill. That's what we originally shot.
Right.
Okay, someone photoshopped Spider-Man on the cliff.
I can actually see that happening. It's pretty crazy, right? Well, that's good. I'm really excited to see where this goes. I'm really excited because, like I said, all of the movies have got to be, I guess, jerry-rigged, as it were. Is that a word? Jury-rigged?
Jury-rigged.
Yeah,
right.
Jury-rigged, as it were.
Because you're rigging the jury.
Yes, you're rigging the jury. So so Spider-Man has to be put in there. Spider-Man is going to be a part of the new Captain America movie. Mm-hmm. So Age of Ultron, like I said, we don't even know where Ultron fits in after this film. We don't even know
like,
yet.
Is he gone? Is that it? Right, or, right. You know?
All right, so maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes is good for this film, and we're going to be getting more down the line anyway.
I really hope so. Considering the scope that they're trying to achieve, there's just not enough time in the day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think you're right. I think that this second Avengers film is going to be quite the test for the Marvel Universe.
Just be prepared, you know, to... you know, do some stretching because you're going to be sitting a long time in that theater.
I'm going to be doing my stretches. I will be. I'll be stretching out a bit for sure. I cannot wait to see it. We're all going to be going to see this film. It is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, it's definitely an event film.
It is. That is an event film.
As the professor likes to say.
As he does. He does say it, and he does say it quite often. Now, moving on to some TV news that we have coming down the line. First off, The Walking Dead finale was on. I did not catch it because it didn't record on my DVR, so I'm ticked. But that's okay. I can still get my hands
well,
on
there's this one part where this one guy has a knife and he puts it into the head of the zombie. And
what?
Then,
that has never happened before.
It's pretty crazy.
Stop spoiling
crazy.
It for me.
And then there's a car and...
So
much happens.
They're walking and they're dead.
Right.
Right? Is that right. What it is? Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. But I missed that finale. I've got it. I've got two episodes left. I can't wait to see it. From what I heard, a lot of people thought it was really good. They can't wait to see it. You saw some of it, did you?
I did catch part of it. I have this really bad habit of flipping through channels, and then all the stuff that we normally talk about is already in session. So I'll watch like the last, you know, 15 minutes or you know, whatever.
Ooh, we can talk about this on the show.
It's like, I know they're going to bring it up. I might as well watch this.
I might as well watch it.
So, yeah, there was, you know, the head rolling and that. It's like, all right.
There were samurai swords cars crazy stuff.
It's so weird because I know the source material. Like, I read the original comic.
Right.
And then to see all of this going on is like, wow, I don't remember any of this.
Because it's nothing like it. Just remember that.
But I remember, like, the first few episodes were actually pretty close.
Yeah, they were.
And then they just really, you know, pulled away from the source material.
Robert Kirkman, according to him, mm-hmm. Robert Kirkman did that intentionally.
Oh, he good said, for him then.
Yeah, he said that he did that intentionally because he wanted... And I guess this may be true. I mean, as fanboys, we do get upset when they stray away from the
right.
origin of content. Maybe how we should be looking at it is if the creators want to see where else their origin could have been taken. So Robert Kirkman says, hey, listen, I love what I made. Maybe he doesn't want to ruin the legacy of what the Walking Dead mm-hmm. comic was. And maybe he says, listen, we'll take the spirit of it. We'll do these things, but this is what I want to change. Because he said Robert Kirkman is the guy that says, hey, this should be changed. Mm-hmm. I want to change this, this, and this, but this has got to be the same. So, you know, Robert Kirkman
well,
does have that
say. It's funny because whenever, you know, we hear things are coming out.
Right.
I always view it as a fanboy first and be like, don't screw this up. Don't mess with it. And then I see it and it's always something completely off kilter from what I was expecting as a fanboy.
Right, right.
And then my sense of direction flips.
Right.
And I go from, you know, fanboy number one to, this is just an, you know, expanded universe or, you know, alternate reality version of what's going on. And then I'm able to accept it. But usually the initial shock and awe, as it were, is usually, you know, burn!
Right.
I hate you! Why would you ruin this?
Screw you, Hollywood, for ruining my childhood memories!
Right?
Right, exactly. But Walking Dead season finale happened, and according to most reports, it's very good. I can't wait to
Have you seen the commercials for the spinoff?
Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm very interested.
I like the way they're playing it, you know, with the newscast and there's a weird flu-like thing going on.
Oh, man. And
I don't know if Fear the Walking Dead is such a good title.
It almost feels like they're starting from before.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything happened.
Because with Walking Dead, it's already full-blown, you know, Rick wakes up and, you know, we see the aftermath of whatever happened. But, yeah, the new spinoff seems to be, like, at the very beginning, like, when everyone's starting to get sick.
Well, Mr. Kirkman, ironically, he, I guess, is the guy that said that he wanted to explore the origin.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because this has nothing to do with comics at all. This is just another show.
Right.
So this has nothing to do with anything, and he said that he wanted to explore a different aspect of it. And I think that's cool, because I will say this in defense of most writers and or artists when it comes to comics, and I'm not talking as a comic book artist by any stretch, but I'm assuming that there is some point in time where they get tired of the same, looking at even their own work and going, you know, I think I could have changed this, mm-hmm. and this. And I'm reading, you know, and they get sick and tired of looking at it all the time and people talking about and things like that, you know. So maybe this is a way for him to kind of expel some of those and put something else out there that has nothing to do with his comic or whatever, because he's got other comics in it, but all they hear about is The Walking Dead, right. You know what I mean?
So I'm waiting for the space version.
Alright!
Because you know there's going to be a space spinoff.
Just like my favorite Jason movie, Jason 10.
Yeah,
that was my favorite one where he was in space.
Really?
Awesome. I mean that sincerely, no sarcasm at all. It's my favorite awesome. Friday the 13th movie. It's awesome. Anyway, also Gotham came back. Gotham came back.
I heard good things, but I haven't seen it yet.
All right, I'm not going to say anything because I have not seen it yet either. So we'll wait on that and we'll get our opinions on Gotham later. But it is back,
awesome.
So very excited. Now, interesting news. Speaking of comic book television, there has been some interesting casting going on in the universe of DC on the CW, as it were. The Flash Arrow spinoff is happening, and it's going to be starring Hot Girl. Are they going to be... Is this going to be another way to resurrect the Justice League? Considering the fact that we've already had it technically resurrected through Smallville?
I think it is. It definitely seems to be going in that direction. I mean, we've already got our Supergirl. They just announced Hot Girl. You know, Arrow's already cast. We got Flash, he's already cast.
Right.
You know, even the sidekicks are already cast. We're getting a lot of information, but no, you know, nothing solid. It could be as simple as these guys just making cameo appearances, but the fact that they're announcing these castings makes it seem like a lot more. Like they're going to make, you know, they're going to be reoccurring roles.
You're absolutely right.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, she's actually being played by a woman by the name of, I want to make sure I'm getting her name correctly. I believe it is Ciara Renee.
Sure.
And, yeah, good. she
that was spot on.
She made her TV debut on Law & Order SVU and has landed the role of Kendra Saunders, or a.k.a. Hawk Girl.
Right.
So, man, she better do that. That'd be sick. I always liked Hawkman. I've always liked Hawk Girl. I've always enjoyed reading about them, but I never read their individual comics. I always read them when they were teamed up. So I never read them together, but I always liked the characters. So very fun to see. I'm wondering how they're going to do the suit. That's a tough one for me.
I'm guessing CGI wings.
I'm guessing big wing. Well, that helmet that they wear is huge.
Yeah, that is.
So,
yes.
Every time I see the Hawkman or the Hawk Girl, it always reminds me of Flash Gordon from 1980s.
Oh yes,
Hawkman. Dive. That's what always reminds me of. I love that movie. Anyway, so yeah, she's going to be cast and she's going to be part of the Flash and Arrow. I tell you what, the CW should just be, they should just change their letters to DC. That's what they should be. It should just be the DC channel.
That makes sense. I mean, Supernatural has a comic.
Yeah, it's It's ridiculous.
Who else is on
Look,
there?
The Flash, Arrow, Smallville, and it's just the list goes on and on and on. It's so ridiculous. But
the vampire stuff.
Oh, Vampire Diaries.
I think they have a comic,
too. Oh,
I don't ridiculous. Know if they're DC, but that would be really interesting.
Like, or the comic CW book
has, CW has the... you know, the licensing for all DC
right.
shows.
That would be nuts.
Oh, except for Gotham. Gotham got away from them.
Right, it did. Disappointingly enough.
But that's okay, because Fox will probably cancel them soon. So.
It's doing too good, man. It's doing too good. Doing too good. Well, funny you mentioned that, because speaking of another network, NBC is already shopping Constantine, or actually selling Constantine for a second season. It's not official yet, but Constantine may come back for a second season on NBC.
I really hope so. They really deserve it. The shows have been really good. They've been a bit inconsistent, if I'm to be honest about it. But as far as the flavor of the show, it is Hellblazer through and through.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I hope it does get a second season. I think you're absolutely right. I think it deserves another shot, considering the fact that they changed so much from the pilot to they went in one direction and then they went to completely another direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I think they do deserve the opportunity to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there should be any problem with that at all. I hope that that's the case.
Oh, and speaking of Constantine, you can watch, you can read Professor Barry's, he did a Looking Back article, movie review on the Constantine movie starring Neo. What's his name?
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He does a Looking Back article on it. He thinks it's underrated. He thinks he enjoyed it. And I have to agree with him.
Yeah, it was good for what it was. Yeah. It was not Constantine, it was good.
You're right.
It was really good.
There was nothing Constantine about Constantine.
Other than smoking.
Right.
That was about it.
No, but he was quitting.
Right, exactly.
Remember, he was quitting.
I was like, well, that's a letdown.
Oh, I want my Constantine to smoke, dang
right?
it. Oh, for crying out loud. Now, Constantine, like I said, is possibly on its way back, which will be good for Constantine.
Definitely.
We've got the Hawkgirl coming up as well. The Gotham, we still got to catch up on. We haven't even talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how that's doing, because that's back as well.
Oh, I haven't watched Agents.
I tell you, forever. Not that I'm tired of watching Agents, because I'm not. It's just I'm just so invested in like Agent Carter and other television shows.
And the Flash.
Oh. Plus the big reveals of Flash as of late. Holy cow,
that,
man!
Last week's episode was awesome.
I really think that they have captured something with Flash that they didn't get, that didn't have the opportunity to capture with the first season of Arrow. There is just something about the momentum of the Flash, and I don't mean that as a pun because he's fast, but the momentum of the Flash series is really picking up steam.
It is,
and I think they're doing a very good job of keeping you interested as a viewer.
Definitely,
And very rarely is it cheese, like cheesy,
mm-hmm.
or it's very rarely that. I mean, there are some things that I could say is, but
it's not campy.
It's not campy,
like
right?
Like,
right.
It's actually a lot of fun.
It's not like, oh well, let's just throw this guy in here.
Right,
let's
right.
just they're building something.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to spoil something here. There was a big appearance on Flash. Was it yesterday or is it tonight?
It's tonight.
There's a big appearance tonight on Flash. So watch out for that. I don't want to ruin it. I've heard it. I've looked at it. And I don't want to ruin it. I've already ruined it for myself. So once we see the Flash, we're going to report back. You're going to let me know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Sweet. I'm so excited. All right. Now that we're done with television, I think, I'm trying to think of... Oh, can I mention this? Nothing to do with comic. All right, moving on. This is something that's going to hurt some nerds out there, some people that watch The Big Bang Theory. You will be happy to know something, sir. The show that you said that I should be watching has now surpassed The Big Bang Theory as the most popular show on television.
What show is that?
Empire.
Really?
Has now surpassed Big Bang Theory in the 18 to 49 demographic. Empire is doing amazing, amazing viewership. Wow. So now I'm very interested to see where see this, considering the fact that the season is over.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something about this show that I am not getting. So I am going to sit down and I am going...
Yeah, you just got to see it, man.
I'm going to make some time and deliberately watch this show because I definitely want to talk about it. It beat Big Bang Theory. That's amazing. That is quite amazing. So
wait, like Big Bang Theory at its height or...
No.
Now. Oh.
Now.
Well, I mean, Big Bang's kind of on a decline.
That's true, but when you capture the 18 to 49 demographic, that's big.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that those are mostly comic book guys and guys like us that love video games and things like that. Empire is a music show. Empire is a for all intents and purposes is a family drama soap opera.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
so that is a big deal. At least in my mind, that is a huge deal. So good on Empire. Terrence Howard is in it. Taraji P. Henson is in it. And according to format, it's a show that I must watch. So I will. I will make the time. Doggone it. All right. Now, on to some Blu-rays and DVDs for the week. There is but one thing that everybody should be aware of that came out on Blu-ray and DVD today, and that is the hard copy of Interstellar has come out on Blu-ray today and DVD.
What did you watch?
What's that?
What I thought you were talking about Interstellar last week.
No, the VOD version. Now it's hard copy.
Oh, now okay,
right.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now it's officially on Blu-ray. Some people don't like streaming. One of our friends in particular doesn't like the streaming thing. So Interstellar is out on Blu-ray today. Also, The Imitation Game, which I wrote a review about. And I wrote a review about Interstellar as well. But Imitation Game is out on Blu-ray as well. And I think everybody should see it. It's an amazing film. I love, love, love it. Also, another picture that was up for an Oscar was Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon, is out on Blu-ray today as well. So there's a lot of stuff out on Blu-ray that I would recommend, at this point. Maybe there is more than one. I love Gravity. It's coming out in a very special edition without the 3D, which is kind of a bummer. They have a Silence of Space edition that of the movie in Gravity, which is really cool. You ever watch Gravity?
Is that the one with
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Her? No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's very. I enjoyed it. It's very good. Also on Blu-ray today is the newest film from Jason Statham. Or the villain in Furious 7 called Wild Card. It's directed by Simon West. And finally, or not even finally, but the last two things I want to talk about is number one, Silicon Valley. The first season is out on Blu-ray today.
It's quite good.
I heard it's hilarious. It is created by Mike Judge, the man who gave us the brilliant Idiocracy, which is great. And, of course, Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. Silicon Valley is his creation. And there's a film that is out right now that I am going to have to recommend based on how horrible it is. It stars Hayden Christensen and Nicolas Cage. It's called Outcast. All I ask you to do is look into it. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. And watch it. And then report back on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You have to see it. You got to let me know what you guys think. And finally, one of my favorite documentaries of all time is out on Blu-ray today called Hoop Dreams in the Criterion Version Edition. If you've never seen Hoop Dreams, it is a three-hour film that seems like it's on for an hour. It's so good. Hoop Dreams follows two kids from youth to high school to college. And it follows their career trying to make it to the big leagues. And it's an amazing, amazing piece of film. Fantastic stuff. Steve James is the director. He's the guy that did documentary Life Itself about Roger Ebert. So check that out too. Anyway, that is what you should be watching if you own a Blu-ray player. You should be picking those up for sure. I have to tell you, right before we get out of here, there are some things coming up in next month that is going to be huge. First off, it has to do with HBO because I mentioned the HBO show. First off, the HBO Now app is coming out exclusively for Apple TV, where you can have a subscription to HBO without a cable subscription. And season 5 of Game of Thrones is next month as well. So, or the month of April, whenever you hear this. So I'm very excited about that. I cannot wait I cannot wait to be able to watch HBO without a cable subscription. That's kind of cool. So very, that's super exciting. Plus Game of Thrones. I have not watched the third season yet. No, excuse me. Fourth season yet. I haven't seen it, so I'm going to have to catch up.
Yeah, same.
There's a lot of stuff to catch
up.
We
usually binge watch, like we'll buy the Blu-ray. Blu-ray.
Absolutely. That's the way to do it, baby. That is the way to do it.
And then like kill it in a weekend.
Yeah, 10 episodes done. That's awesome. Now, want to let everybody know that you can check us out on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. If you have anything you want to post, you have anything you want to comment on, let us know at Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. And one other thing I wanted to mention to you, Format. Are you excited?
Sure.
Because Thursday, you, I,
oh, yes,
possibly Professor Barry, and possibly Amber. Well, Professor Barry has to because he has the tickets.
Right.
We are going to watch the premiere of Furious 7.
Yep.
Okay.
This time it's not just about being fast. Apparently it's about being furious.
Yeah, that's right, because this time it's for real. So
one last ride.
One last ride. You know, Brian, I live my life 1/4 mile at a time.
Brazil. Jesus.
Right.
Such screenwriting brilliance.
Oh, man, it's phenomenal. I cannot wait for Furious 7. We'll be there, and as a matter of fact, that evening, as soon as it's over, we're going to get together, and we're going to be doing a live podcast from and get our first responses of Furious 7 on the show. Okay, we're going to be doing a live podcast right after the show. It's going to be 7 o'clock Hawaii time. We'll be out of there at 9:30, 9:40-ish. We'll go live, and we'll go live with our responses and our review of Furious 7. So it'll post right up on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. If you have notifications for us, it'll come right up, and we'll be doing a live pod from the movie theater with myself, Format, Professor Barry, and possibly even Amber, who I haven't had a chance to talk to yet at all. So, oh, and by the way, I'm very excited about that. But just to let you know, next month, which for us right now, while we're recording this, is tomorrow. There's a new slate of Netflix films that's to be streaming tomorrow.
Oh yeah, new month,
new Netflix streaming stuff. So check that out. I have a. If you can find a list, that'd be great. I can't find a list. Okay. We'll throw it up on Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. All the new stuff that you can watch.
Well, knowing Digit, she'll probably beat me to it.
Oh, she beat you to it? Fantastic.
So I'll go looking for it, go to post it, and it'll already be up there.
It would already be up there.
Oh, thanks, Digit. That's
all right.
Great.
Well, listen, Format, I'm so excited you and I could get together, talk about WrestleMania, talk about movies and all that stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
It was definitely fun. I am very excited about Thursday. I cannot wait to see this film. More importantly, I cannot wait to talk about this film. We're going to be doing a live pod from the theater, which is going to be super cool, and we'll be doing it live, and you guys will be able to listen to it. Just pay attention to your mobile device, and we'll definitely hear from you for sure.
Oh, yes, sir. One thing I wanted to kind of touch base on.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of the listeners have been posting on the NerdWatch Facebook site.
Sure.
A lot of times we miss those.
Yes.
But we do try to get to you, and we do try to answer them. So just wanted to touch base, let you guys know that we are reading what you guys are writing us.
Yeah, I want to let you guys know that sometimes the Facebook, the way the Facebook algorithms work, sometimes even work against us. So,
because I think there were like 4 or 5 people that posted about the upcoming Hawaii Con, and Stan Lee's going to be there.
Yeah, and I
totally didn't see it.
I didn't either. So don't worry, we're not ignoring you guys. That's why we got multiple people on this thing. We're here to respond to you guys as quickly as we can and get you as much information. And speaking of that, I wanted to end the show with that. I'm glad you brought it up. Is Hawaii, the Hawaii Comic Con that's happening in Oahu. We may possibly, if we can work it out, the logistics of it, we may be going there live and reporting live for you guys for the Nerd Watch, hopefully. If we can get the funds together and do that, that'd be a lot of fun for sure. So yeah, if you didn't know by now, check Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. There is an amazing Comic Con, that's what it's called, coming to Hawaii to the convention center.
Stan Lee is going to be there.
Stan
the man.
Just to shake the hand of Mr. Stan Stan Leibovitz, is it? Or I forget what it was.
The last and first time I heard his full name was on a comic book documentary.
Right.
And I've forgotten it ever since.
I know, right?
But
I know.
It's something like that.
It's something like that. Well, good for you, Stan, and I hope we get to meet you for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful week. We are out of time. We will see you back sooner than later because we will be posting our live podcast review of Furious 7 coming up Thursday evening. That should be fun.
So furious.
So furious, so fast, so awesome.
Brazil!
Have a wonderful week, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you or hear from you back here on Thursday. And if not, next week we'll be also doing a pod as well. More movies, more games, more wrestling talk. Who knows? It's all happening right here on the Nerd Watch. We're out of time. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Peace out. Much love. I forgot to say this 2 weeks in a row. Peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, and in the lovely words of this beautiful island, we bid you a wonderful aloha.